Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about the books. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Welcome to Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. I'm your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy. Thanks.
Hey, I was okay? Under the table. I missed your applause. Is it about... How about equal with how mine was?
Exactly the same. Exactly.
It was exactly the same. Excellent. Well, welcome. Yeah, me too.
You.
Welcome to Seattle. That's weird.
We love to come back to Seattle. Our family comes back to Seattle a lot, I feel.
Yeah, we're here a lot. It seems like it's like a second. It's our vacation home in the Cloudyville.
We love Seattle so much that this morning, after we got up, our daughter, Charlie, climbed up into the windowsill and stood there and looked out over the city and said, "Hello, Portland!"
That's very good.
Just apropos of nothing, just, where did you say we were?
So we usually like to theme our episodes to the area that we're in, Seattle. But we've been to Seattle so many times that we're kind of out of things, if I'm being honest.
I'm sure there are more, but then Justin had a whole other... He said, well, we're going to Seattle, but we're also going to PodCon. Maybe there's a connection there, and I'm going to let you explain.
It's not
that.
Sydney said she was going to let me explain. It's not a long chain. I just thought PodCon... Podcasts go in your... Okay, PodCon is about podcasts. And podcasts go in your ear, so maybe an ear thing. It's not a long trip. Just ear stuff.
So he said an ear thing, and I said, hey, you know, we just got there was a tweet, I think, the other day about how we should look into auriculotherapy. I wonder if that would be a good topic. And I'm guessing you all don't know much about it because nobody got excited.
That's very good. No, that's ideal.
Justin, what do you know about auriculotherapy?
Well, Sydney, I mean, do you want me to be honest? Because you kind of told me a little bit, or should I lie? We always edit this part out. No, just kidding. Normally, she doesn't tell me about stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
I know a little bit about it.
Okay. It has to do with the ear.
Ear stuff is involved.
Therapy. Ear therapy.
Ear therapy. I mean, that's in the word, right? Auriculo,
yeah.
Meaning of or pertaining to the ear area in the Latin, in
ear
the original
area.
Latin.
Ear area. So auriculotherapy is considered an alternative medicine, which it's similar in some respects, I would say, to acupuncture. And then I would also say it's similar to reflexology. Except it's the ear. So it's basically a therapeutic procedure whereby you poke or burn or squeeze or apply some sort of electrical current to various parts of the ear that correspond with all the other parts of your body. So if you have a problem in your knee, you just like squeeze this part of your ear and...
It's the same. I mean, it's the same.
So I had never heard of this. I've heard, because reflexology is sort of like the same idea, but with the feet.
Like it's like foot, feet. Reflexology is foot massage with rules and charts, basically.
And this is like ear massage, except it sounds less pleasant because you do a lot of other, I would think, more painful things to the ear as part of it. The original attempts at it, you, like its origin was probably with acupuncture, which with ear acupuncture, which is done. But then it kind of goes astray. It goes off on its own little tangent, which is where Sawbones lives, on these tangents. So it's like I said, its origins are quite ancient. And it was originally based on the same ideas that acupuncture is based on. So the body has meridians, like these pathways through which energy can flow. And these are ideas that don't always sync up as well with like Western medicine and our idea of like what causes disease and what treatments are and that kind of thing.
The nice way of putting it.
Well, I'm just saying like most of us don't treat based on like
energy. Right.
The flow of energy.
Flow of energy.
Right. Like acupuncture is. Auriculotherapy was like there were scattered attempts throughout history to kind of make it into its own thing. Like, for instance, one of the like kind of folklore behind why a sailor might get a bunch of earrings is that it supposedly improved your vision to pierce your ears.
I didn't even know that. Wow. I'm already learning like so much from this episode.
In ancient Egypt, sometimes you could like burn or pierce a certain part of your ear if you wanted to like prevent pregnancy.
Wow. This is like very potent stuff we're playing around here with, Sid.
Well, no, it didn't work. I'm just
you
saying.
Said, like you just clearly said in ancient Egypt, that would work.
You might try this.
It might try that in ancient Egypt, and maybe it would be more effective because of, I don't know, the time period? Is it a faith thing?
No, I mean, again, like, is it what? Are you asking me what it really is?
No, keep going.
What it really is it doesn't work, but the theories behind it are that there are parts of your ear that for some reason are connected, either you could believe through energy, or as I'm going to get into, there were some more like sophisticated embryologic origin theories.
Whoa. Okay.
But we'll get there. There was also, Hippocrates said, if you want to, you can bleed someone behind their ear. So like make a cut behind their ear and bleed them there specifically to improve their erections.
Wait, and, if you want to?
And their ejaculations will be stronger if you bleed them behind the ear.
Why?
I mean, Hippocrates, man.
Yeah, you can't just throw Hippocrates out of the bus like that.
One of my favorite, because these are all just like these little snippets throughout history where somebody was like, let's try that ear thing again. No? Okay.
No, something still else. Nothing. All right.
In one of the little, like, I guess you could call it a case report, although I don't think these qualify as like medical literature, it's case reports. One of the anecdotes, if you will, is in 1810, there was this professor in Italy who reported that he observed that a man who was stung by a bee on the ear was immediately relieved of all leg pain. And so the thought was, if people could just get like needles poked in their ear, then leg pain vanishes. And so this actually, for quite a while, auriculotherapy was applied mainly for leg pain, sciatica. I found this again and again. People would come in and be like, "Ah, I have back pain or leg pain, I have sciatica," and they'd be like, "No problem."
Oh. Now what hurts most? Now what's the most painful thing on you? My ear? Hey, we did it.
So in the 1800s, it became sort of popular to use this for specifically for sciatica and then also for toothaches for whatever reason. Toothaches were a very popular use. But again, these were real scattered. It was really, it took about 100 years of this kind of scattered use before the doctor who I think you could consider like the father of modern auriculotherapy, Dr. Paul Nogier, saw these healers in Southeast France using a type of auriculotherapy. He observed that a lot of people in the community had a very specific burn on the back of their ear. And he started asking, like, I've seen a lot of people with this burn. What's the deal? And it turned out that there were healers in the community who were burning a very specific part of the ear for back pain. And he was so intrigued by this that he took this information back and he studied it for like 6 years. And he came out with the idea that the whole ear corresponds to the human body. And it's really easy. You can visualize this. If you want to know what part of the ear to poke to fix different parts of your body, all you have to do, and he published this drawing, by the way. I wish I had this original journal with this published drawing of a human fetus superimposed on an ear. So just think about the ear.
Think about the ear.
Picture a fetus.
Picture
like
a fetus.
You know, like upside down, like head down, ready to go, like full term. You know, like
all like a fetus,
up.
Folks. Come on.
You know.
Work with us.
All curled up, and then just kind of superimpose it on an ear, and you can kind of see it, right? Like it.
Okay, I'm gonna look dead ahead. You can kind of indicate sort of where on my ear we're talking about.
Is this gonna? Maybe this will work. Turn it there. Okay, so like the head would be here, and then you'd get like the spine curling around here, and you got like the butt.
Oh my God, my ASMR
here.
Is like going crazy right now. This is going to be the next 20 minutes of the show. I feel so pampered and cared for.
You got like the knees.
Personal
like,
attention, ahoy.
The hand, or the hands for some reason kind of go like this.
There's got to be more, Sydney. This is so chill.
But with this in mind, it would be as simple as like, let's see, there's the spine. So like, does your back hurt?
Yes, you better keep going.
How does it feel now?
Bet worse. It was. I was about to say better, and you let go. So now it's worse.
I'm sorry.
So, you know, that's kind of a bad thing to make up, because normally you would need to go to school. Like, for reflexology, it's all higgledy-piggledy along the foot in different areas, but this is just very easy. Bottom of the ear, baby head. Up here, the butt. Up at the top of your ear, the butt. Or feet. Butt or feet. It's easy. It's one chart. You don't need to go to school for that.
It was really, I looked up this picture. I had to see this for myself because I read the description of like just this superimposed fetus on an ear. And I thought, well, it can't be that simple. Because when he published this, people got really excited. Like the medical community went, oh, yes. Oh, this is excellent. I love this. This is so simple. It must be true. And if you look, it really is that simple. It's a picture of a fetus on an ear. And everybody went, bravo. Paul, you knocked it out of the park. So everybody found out about this, about auriculotherapy, and got really excited and thought, you know, we need to figure out how this works. Because he didn't propose necessarily all of the mechanisms by which this was possible. It was kind of like, we've established this works. Now let's go back and come up with a reason why, which isn't typically how we do things. But so everybody started trying to figure out, like, well, a lot of the doctors who were studying it in like Europe and in the United States were saying, well, we don't really have that concept of the flow of energy, so that doesn't fit into our medical paradigm. So we need to come up with some other reason. So they started doing all these studies where they biopsied parts of the ear to see, like, are there secret structures that maybe we have in our ear that we don't know about?
Is it where they're?
No. They tried that. They tried measuring, like, the electrical resistance of different parts of the ear. And this is stuff like this has been done with acupuncture, in case you're interested. They're very similar kind of studies. So they tried to measure the electrical resistance. Is there something different about certain parts of the ear that we don't understand? They tried to apply functional MRI. So they were like, okay, we're going to put you in an MRI machine, and they were going to poke your ear, and they're going to look for other parts of your body to light up.
Just then, when you think MRIs couldn't be less fun. Here comes ear poking.
And then they were like, we'll try it the other way. We'll poke your foot and see if your ear lights up.
Like, you know, like that Operation guy.
Meanwhile, Dr. Nogier had his own kind of method that he was arguing. I know it works. I still can't tell you why, but I have new evidence as to the fact that it does work. I have new evidence to present. So he invented a method of testing auriculotherapy, which he also he didn't invent, but he rejuvenated. His method was called the vascular autonomic signal, or the VAS. And what this is he would poke your ear with one hand and then take your pulse with the other. And he could sense very slight, subtle changes in your pulse that no other doctors could detect.
Whoa. It's a pretty valuable skill.
Mm-hmm. And this was part of the problem is he started doing this to people. Where he'd be like, watch, I'll show you that it works. And he'd grab their ear and give me your hand. And he'd feel their pulse here. And he'd go, ah, the problem's in your butt. And would you say that's accurate?
That's weird. You're right. It is. Yes. Yes. Like all McElroy men. The problem does happen to be in my butt, Sid. A lot of planes lately. A lot of time zones.
Now.
A lot of booze.
Now the thing.
Not a lot of vegetables.
That's your own problem, man. You have gotten like no cookie points on this trip. None.
True.
None. So the problem.
Very small potatoes yesterday. Like the red ones. Is that anything? They're very small. They were very small and they looked very rustic.
This is nothing.
It seems like at that level of rusticity, there should be some vitamins involved. Was my instinct upon it. I got three of them and I thought, there's certainly some vitamins in here.
You say this, and I'm a doctor, and then people hold me accountable because these are your ideas about nutrition. It's not fair. I give him green things. I show him where they are.
The cheese ravioli was bad. I knew that. I'm just saying I knew that.
Okay, back to this.
There was a cheese sauce for it. You know what I said? It was so good. You know what I said to the other people there?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, hey, Roman Mars, this sauce is so good. It's bechamel-ting my heart. That's what I said to him. And he was
what did he say to you?
As somebody who is an expert in the built world, I want you to know that was the finest joke ever built. I want to tell you that you're the new king of podcasts. And you're such an inspiration to me because of the great joke about cheese sauce. It reminds me of how elevators, you know, how they do their thing. Did you ever stop to think about that? Because I know the names of everybody that made up elevators. Let me tell you them. Roman is a partner. We work on a podcast called Smart Stuff. So he doesn't, we go back and forth like this. He knows he's a catbird with a wire tail, folks. He doesn't mind this at all. He loves a good-natured ribbing about the built world.
Do you want to hear about this auriculotherapy some more?
Yeah, I'd love to. Okay. I just got, a little bit of a tangent, huh? Sorry about that.
You went on another podcast, I think.
It's PodCon. It's going to happen, I think. If it's going to happen somewhere.
Podcast.
The layers between the realities are very thin.
The medicines that escalate macabre for the mouth.
So he started proposing this way of testing whether or not this works indicated by the radial pulse. And the problem with it is that it was, as he told people, this is an incredibly difficult technique to master. You have to practice for years and years and years, and some people can never master it. So it was incredibly difficult to learn, and it was also really difficult to teach because you're like, here, feel. Do you feel it? No. Feel again. Do you feel it? No. Feel again. I don't know. It's there.
I don't know what to tell you.
And so this was his argument. All these other researchers who did all those other experiments that I mentioned just kind of said, we don't really find anything. Like, we didn't see anything new, any new structures that, like, carry secret pathways of energy or anything that we couldn't find anything physical. We did the functional MRI thing, and it just, like, stuff just lit up all over the place. Nothing connected to anything. Nothing was consistent. Nothing could be reproduced. They did do the thing where they measure the electrical resistance on different parts of the skin to see, like, is there a difference between one of the pressure points, one of the points that correspond to a body part, and then just, like, a random place. And there was a difference, but, like, it wasn't consistent. It was like, well, that is stronger, but so is that one, and that's not a point. And that one has nothing, but that one has nothing, too, and it's nothing. It was just nothing was consistent, but they did know that, like, you know, some parts do have more electrical resistance than others. What could this mean? And Nozier came back with the argument that, like, we haven't discovered all of the points yet.
Ah, there's more points.
There's secret points. There's satellite points. There are emerging points that are as of yet not fully matured as points. So there might be 2,000. We don't know. You can't test this.
That's a weird... If you believe in either God and Jesus or evolution, both make that a buck wild thing to be there. That is like such, I don't care where you fall on the spectrum. Whatever you think made the things, I very much doubt it's like, and finally, there's 2,000 buttons in the ear that do a wide variety of wild things. And I'm curious if they'll find it because it is really good. But there are a lot of them, folks. It's like the Wonkavator up there.
The only study that supported it at all is they tried it on rabbits to see if, like, they could measure if they could help
those ears
rabbit.
Are huge. That's 4,000 points.
If they could poke its ear and, like, make it feel good somehow. I was reading this, and I kept reading this study and, like, looking at what they did and going, what? How? What? Where? I couldn't even figure, but at the end of it, they were like, I don't know, the rabbits seemed to like it when we poked their ears. Maybe he's on to something. So that was the only study that was kind of, like, supportive. Like, well, we did that to those bunnies.
Rabbits are just stoked to have your attention in a way that doesn't involve pulling them out of hats.
They're just trying to make the rabbits feel really good.
Just chill out, rabbit.
So, after this publication and all of these studies, and then this one rabbit study that was sort of like, maybe, we don't know, people got really interested and started using these ideas and kind of expanding on them. And I always love when I see these kind of pseudoscience-y concepts then get taken to the next level and the next level, because they don't really have they're on shaky ground to begin with, and then the house of cards that gets built upon them. So anyway, part of Nozier's work was the idea that the body is responsive to 7 frequencies. And these frequencies can change the function of your body because they're like vibrations, and we're mostly water, so water vibrates.
Yeah.
So it's that simple. You just have to know the right frequency to fix a different part of your body. And the easiest way to do this, as we'll get to, is to apply that frequency to the ear. So you just, like, vibrate the ear at a certain frequency at the place where the problem is. And like, an example is frequency A helps with wound healing. So if you vibrate the ear at the, I don't know, at the shoulder, at frequency A, then you could fix a cut on your shoulder.
No. Wait. Beep, beep, beep. False.
It's important to remember frequency A because it also helps with tumors.
Uh-huh.
So either.
I bet it doesn't, though. Now, this is all very legitimate, right? We're all vibrations. We're all energy. The secret tells us that folks, it's just, sit down. It's the law of attraction, okay? Hold on. I have a whiteboard here. What you want, the secret is, what is the secret? Let me go back. That's the secret, folks. Law of attraction. Vibrate it into the world. Mm-hmm. Cure the tumor in your shoulder. Ask the universe to heal you. That's what I'm saying.
Is vibration. That what the secret is about?
That, in short, is the secret. Law of attraction, like attracts like. Vibration. It's energy.
So,
it's not McDonald's, folks. You can't just go up to the universe and say, hey, I want a cheeseburger. You have to tell the universe you're hungry, and the universe will feed you cheeseburgers. You're going to attract what you're a vibrational okay. match for.
So. Universe, please do not feed my husband any more cheeseburgers. Please feed him some vegetables.
Doesn't work
he
like
needs
that.
The roughage.
The universe is not a gift registry, Sydney. You can't order up vibrations for me. It's very personal.
So like I said, there's frequency A. Some more examples. Frequency D is really good for stress. So if you're stressed, which I guess that wouldn't be like a body, like maybe the whole ear, just vibrate your entire ear at frequency D, and then you'll feel less stressed. G is the universal frequency, which I found very convenient that you could use it for anything. It also made me wonder why the other frequencies
exist. Yeah, why waste the time?
Because you just use this one. And then specifically, F is really good for dogs. I don't know what. I was like, for what for dogs? Anything. Anything for dogs. Just vibrated dog's ear. The frequency of F.
Vibrate your dog.
I'm assuming not like this. And they're fine.
Fix my dog. So.
And by the way, you may be wondering, are there products that I could purchase to help me in these efforts?
Certainly not.
Of course there are. They're like pressure feelers and color filters.
Wait, what?
And
what's
auriculotherapy point detectors.
Nice.
All these different ways of like looking at the ear and like finding like I see the point is here and there's the problem. And then there's ways for treatment too. And they're mainly like electrical devices that you're like, okay, here, vibrate. Or electrocute, here.
Ah.
Shock.
Don't do that, physicians. Americans,
no.
Physicians, come on.
Some of these are hundreds of dollars.
Of course. What? They're going to cut you a deal on curing your tumors?
What the most, my favorite application of these frequencies, though, because this is one thing, so I'm going to vibrate your ear. Okay. The best for me was a Dr. Emoto who took these frequencies that Nogier had discovered, and he started using them to vibrate water. And then he observed the water to see what kind of crystals were forming as he vibrated the water at different frequencies. And then in response to different things like music and phrases. And
I thought you were going to say Frasier.
Maybe Frasier. I don't know. But he started sending these vibrations into samples of water and like arguing that if you send a sample of water some sort of like loving message, if you like look at the water and say love and gratitude, then it and then freeze it, then you'll form all these beautiful snowflake like lovely patterns of water, yeah. Of ice. And that if you and he found the same thing when he played Amazing Grace to the cup of water.
So if you hold up a cup of water and you're like, hey, baby, I hear the blues. Tossed salad and scrambled eggs. You're going to get like a very...
And then freeze it, and you're going to see beautiful,
distinguished, urbane, witty structures and crystals.
He argued that on the other hand, if you say mean things to the water, if you look at the water and you're like, I hate you, water.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salad and scrambled eggs.
He specifically said, heavy metal music is really bad for water. And that it would create these, as they were described, like demonic images. When you play heavy metal music at water and then freeze it, it's very scary looking. It was the same as if you look at water and yell, you fool, you fool. I just love, you have to picture like like these scientists in like lab coats. And they're in a lab, like you walk in, you're like touring like a research facility. And there's this one doctor who's standing there with a cup of water. You fool, freeze it.
Freeze it, that's good. I put a lot of stink in that one.
So.
That sounds like nothing. We've heard a lot of things that sound like nothing. Staring at crystals that have been scalded and trying to find devil faces. That sounds like more nothing than usual.
Now, from this, because that was like, okay, so we have decided that water responds to vibrations by forming pictures, I guess by communicating with us, like, don't yell at me. Here's a demon face. What do we do with this in terms of medicine? I have to imagine at some point somebody went, and? The idea is that if you then apply any of these pleasant frequencies, either the Nogira frequencies or this positive music or whatever, to the water, that the water will hold the memory of the vibration, and then you can drink the water, and it will heal you. And what's wild is that I read this.
Don't say it works. I will quit the show.
No.
Don't say it works. I'll quit.
No, it doesn't work. No, but I read this and I thought, I've heard this before. And then I remembered I was on my way back from a medical conference when I was a student. And I was riding in like the hotel shuttle back to the airport. And my friend and I, also a medical student, this guy said, so what are you ladies been doing in the city? And we were like, we were at a medical conference. And he was like, oh, let me tell you about vibrational water. And the entire way to the airport, this guy told me about how he cured himself of something by placing vibrational water under his tongue.
And you were trapped in the car when he was...
The entire way. And
this
like...
This is your origin story, I feel like. This is like... At the end of it, you just like... Your almost lifeless body fell out of the back and you had to be rescued by monks that took you to medical school and brought you back to health.
It was, I still remember it because I remember I was just thinking like, just be nice, be pleasant. Oh, okay. It's interesting. Yeah. And it was all the like, you'll never learn this in school. Listen to me. Those crooks won't teach you this stuff. And I remember at one point saying, so do you make it or do you have to buy it? And he said, oh, you can't make this. You can't, I don't have that kind of technology. Which, like, wouldn't it just take, like, a tuning fork and, like, a cup? I mean, anyway, I don't have that technology. I have to purchase it. It's worth every penny. And all I thought was, oh, you poor guy. How much water? How much money? And he was showing me it was a bottle, like, a little teeny with a dropper. So this is still a thing. I just thought this was interesting. It's still a thing.
If that happened to you now, would you, like, say something?
Yeah. 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 I mean, I was still in medical school. I was terrified. And I was just thinking, like, please get me to the airport. Please just let me get to the airport. The only other concept that I thought worth mentioning that was born of auriculotherapy and Dr. Nogier's teachings was the idea, and this was based on that pulse thing that I mentioned, that you could also detect food allergies this way. And that there were a lot of people who have secret food allergies that don't know about it, which, to be fair, you could have food insensitivities you don't know about. That's not like a wild belief. A lot of people do. But his theory was that most disease is probably related to a secret food allergy that you don't know about.
Yes.
Because you eat the food and you don't get the symptoms for several months, so there's no way you could ever connect the two, which would be very difficult were that the case.
That logical leap is sound. Yes, that would be challenging.
That would be incredibly challenging. So his theory was that what you could do is take a little ring to which you have applied like some like mushed, I don't know, cantaloupe or whatever, whatever you think they're allergic to, and you just put it on them somewhere, put it on their skin, and then feel their pulse.
Easy.
And again, he's the only one that could do this. Radial artery food testing, or RAFT. He's the only one who could do it, so good luck. But I think this is still practiced today by some who will just put a bunch of little rings on you and then feel your pulse and be like, nope, cheeseburgers. There's the problem. Cheeseburgers are your problem. What is this used for today? Auriculotherapy is still practiced. A lot of times it overlaps with ear acupuncture, but it's also just practiced on its own, like burning the ear, cauterizing the ear, putting pressure on the ear, anything like that. Applying, I found some that apply like colored lights to the ear.
Good, good.
It's like, good. We don't work that way. I can't shine some colorful lights on you and fix it. I mean, come on. But there's a lot of different ways that people are practicing it as to what they say that it treats everything. I mean, your entire body is mapped on the ear. So anything in the body can be treated by the ear. Specifically, they'll talk about pain. It's very commonly advertised for pain. It's a very commonly advertised alternative way to quit smoking. A lot of times they'll tell you they can help you quit smoking by doing this to you.
Presumably your ears are in such discomfort that you just don't feel like it.
Afterwards, you're like, fine, okay. Oh. Please quit burning my ear.
They take the cigarette from you and just stick it in your ear. There, you're cured.
They do.
Every time you light up. It would work. I mean, it would work. It would work. Not for what you're saying, but it would work.
You'll also find it advertised for things like any kind of like stomach stuff, like diarrhea and constipation. It's a really commonly advertised thing for. And any sort of psychiatric problem, like depression, anxiety, anything like that. They'll be like, we gotcha. Let me just...
No problem. Let me just poke your ear.
I don't remember. I guess it would be the brain part. Did I fix your anxiety?
I mean, for the moment.
I'll just do the rest of the show like this.
Perfect.
It is very... Aw. I'll squeeze your ear later when we're alone.
Great. Yikes. Hugely displeasing. Hugely unpleasant.
The one question that I really had is that I have seen a lot of people get the piercings in their ear, because this is where this comes from. If you've seen people get piercings specific places in their ear for migraines, this acupuncture of the ear and auriculotherapy and all this is all derived from that same kind of body of knowledge. And so I was reading about that, because I've seen people specifically get, this is the tragus right here, the little part of your ear that kind of covers, you can use it to kind of like cover your ear. Or like the dace, which is like right up above it. You can get those pierced, and people say that it relieves migraine. I looked into it, and it's like most of the things. I can find a lot of anecdotes for you. I can find some like case reports that have actually been published, like in the medical literature. Here's a patient I had. They did this. Their migraines decreased in frequency by this much. But for the most part, even the doctors who will tell you it's worth trying, because there are doctors out there who say, look, I have no evidence for it. I'm not saying it works, but maybe so you can try it, because migraines are a terrible thing to have. If you have migraines, they're terrible. And even those doctors who say that actually recommend ear acupuncture over the piercing. Because what they say is, listen, if you're going to do this, the acupuncture works by the same principle, and you don't leave something there forever that could get infected. So even the piercings, really, even the doctors who say, like, do them, you should probably use the acupuncture. But that was it. As far as, like, practical applications, I mean, I guess maybe an ear massage would be good.
You know, Sydney, nice. I actually think I know of one thing that you can poke in the ear that'll always make the patient feel better. It's podcasting. Thank you, Podcast Convention, for having us here to discuss this topic. Thank you for all your support over the years of Sawbones. We have a book. It's called The Sawbones Book. And you can find it wherever fine books are sold.
It took us a long time to come up with that title.
Yeah. Yeah. And thank you to Podcast Convention for having us here as part of their podcast convention. Thank you for listening. Make sure you stick around. Thanks to the taxpayers for use of our song Medicines as the intro and outro of our program. And most of all, of course, as always, thanks to you for listening. We will be with you again next week. So until then, my name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.